This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Now, allegedly involved with sexual misconduct, but these allegations are old. The Air Force, in the meantime, investigating why the Texas shooter who killed 26 people at a church in Sutherland Springs, Texas, was not listed on a list that should have not allowed him to get any firearms, according to the state of Texas. And on top of all of that, the president is still in his Asian swing and headed back. And whether or not there's going to be a Trump-Putin meeting still hangs in the balance as far as we know. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Let's start with the Senate candidate, Roy Moore. He's saying that these allegations of sexual misconduct are the very definition of fake news and intentional defamation. He says, listen, the forces of evil are going to lie, cheat, steal, and even do some physical harm if they think it'll shut up Christian conservatives like you and me. The story is, now, Mitch McConnell is saying Roy Moore should withdraw from the Senate race in Alabama. But the report is that the report or the allegations come from a story about a woman who, when she was forwarding to the Washington Post, who her name is Lee Korfman, said that they met several times when he was a local prosecutor in his 30s, and at one point drove her to his home where he touched her and did some other things to her, although she's saying she wasn't, you know, raped or any of that kind of stuff or whatever, but obviously saying that there was misconduct. So again, this was decades and decades ago. We had Ellen Ratner on from Talk Media News in our last hour, and she talked about that if, as she said, she were his attorney, I mean, the statute of limitations is up. Why even address it? If it's not true, just let it go and move on from there. But Mitch McConnell's saying, get out of the race. If, you know, just withdraw from this race. The fact that what he's saying is this, the Senate Majority Leader is saying that if they are substantiated that he initiated this encounter with a 14-year-old four decades ago, if they're true, even though he backed, and McConnell, of course, backed Moore's opponent in the Republican primary, he said if they're true, they're very disturbing, and he should not continue to go down this path. Moore won the Alabama Republican nomination to fill Attorney General Jeff Sessions' former Senate seat. He faces the Democrat in a December election. He beat the incumbent Senator Luther Strange back in September in a runoff vote for the Republican nomination. So this is a sticky situation. Who knows where it goes and whether he withdraws. He's saying no. He tweeted out it's ridiculous and it's not true. And, you know, so we'll see. In the meantime, Trump Putin, is there going to be a meeting between the two? Well, it's been added to the Friday schedule. So they're expected to have a sit-down on the sidelines of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit in Vietnam. The potential meeting is not on the public schedule for the first day in the city of Da Nang, but a Kremlin spokesperson is saying the meeting was likely to take place. The Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, who would know such things, did not confirm the sit-down, but he said it was under consideration. This is huge, because is he going to meet? Because he said when he was getting ready for the 11-day Asia trip that he was expected to meet with Putin. That was one of the heavy storylines that was discussed. And based on all that's happened, obviously, with the Russia meddling into elections, allegations, etc. This is a pretty big deal, and for other reasons too, as well. And speaking of that, Robert Mueller, who is heading up this investigation, the FBI special counsel, has interviewed White House senior policy advisor Stephen Miller, one of the inner circle people for Donald Trump. Miller's role is being questioned in the firing of FBI Director James Comey, or at least that's one of the things that was discussed, not necessarily questioned, but it was part of the discussion. And also in what that memo said that explained why the president was booting Comey, the team of investigators is interested in any of those who went to the March 2016 meeting where George Papadopoulos said he could arrange a meeting between Trump and the Russian president, Vladimir Putin, which, of course, was before he was president, and Miller was at the meeting. So, like a soap opera, we keep turning on Russia, 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 Russia. And in the world of fantasy, because who knows if this would really be true or not, there are polls where we throw up such things. If there was the possibility of unicorns, would you go and try to get a unicorn for yourself? I saw a poll one time like that. What are you kidding? What do they eat? What would a unicorn eat? But in the world of politics, Senator Bernie Sanders would beat President Donald Trump by 11 points. That's what the Zogby Analytics poll is saying. If they had a head-to-head matchup in 2020, wow. Former VP Joe Biden would beat him by 9 points. And how about that? And then it went on to say that Michelle Obama would beat Trump by 3 points. And these are, again, fantasy matchups if this were to happen. And Elizabeth Warren was actually the lowest, one of the lowest on the list. She would beat Trump by 2 points, according to the tea leaves of the Zogby poll, based on what's happening now. So, wow, go figure that. In the meantime, huge story that I mentioned at the top. A week after former airman Devin Kelly killed 26 people, shockingly, at a church in Sutherland Springs, Texas, the Air Force is saying that Kelly's past conviction on domestic violence-related charges should have been communicated to the FBI. If Kelly's court-martial had been given to the National Crime Information Center, he wouldn't have been able to get a firearm at all in Texas. It would have been reported he couldn't have gotten it. So the Air Force, which of course now is a target because this happened, they're reviewing everything. And if this was directed by the Secretary of Defense, of course it was, James Mattis, that you've got to do this. We got to figure out, where did this fall down? How did this fall down? Since Sunday night, the Air Force Inspector General has spoken to about 100 people involved in the case. Because, let's face it, their integrity, excellence, whatever you want to call it, it's on the line. The Air Force is also examining its databases back to 2002, when the system was computerized, and then physical documents as well, saying that, you know, he was court-martialed in 2012 for assaulting his wife and a child, and he served just shy of a year in confinement before he got a bad conduct discharge. So that's big. What should they do, you know? If you want to throw in your 2 cents, you certainly are able to do that at 855-266-5283, 855-266-KATE. Coming up next, it's all about the numbers in this version of We Can Count.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder. Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body. Why take another pill? Treat your aches and pains with Sunshine Pillows. Microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body heating wraps. Sunshine Pillows and wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it, even while driving. Sunshine Pillows are designed with your comfort in mind, will not burn you, and will stay balanced on your body to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunshine Pillows start at just $20. Join hundreds of our happy customers and see why Sunshine Pillows has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Click sunshine-pillows.com and take the Sunshine Pillow Challenge. That's sunshine-pillows.com.
Hello, Mr. Anderson. The NSA has noticed how much time you spend on conservative news sites. We have no choice but to consider you a domestic terrorist.
Tired of your internet activity being monitored by Big Brother? Get VirtualShield.com, the world's easiest-to-use virtual private network. Browse the web anonymously, leaving pesky advertisers and spies in the dust. Get started today at VirtualShield.com. Take advantage of our free 30-day trial. VirtualShield.com. You have the right to remain private.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from 3 health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Welcome to another edition of We Can Count. And what is We Can Count? It's all about the numbers. I say all the time, we live by the numbers. Numbers, or at least I see the numbers everywhere I seem to go, right? All right, this is a sad one. Let's start with this. Although it's a life well lived. You know, if you're living to 84 and you were part of a celebrated television series and you went off to incredible locations, I'd say that's pretty good. So actor John Hillerman, the co-star of TV's Magnum P.I., has died at the age of 84. He died at his home in Houston. They haven't released the cause of death. He played Jonathan Higgins to Tom Selleck's private detective, if you remember, in that 1980s series that was set in Hawaii. He was also known for other roles that he played, too, including appearing in The Last Picture Show, High Plains Drifter. He was on The Betty White Show. He was in a lot of different things, and he was well-liked in Hollywood, for what it's worth. Like I said, a life well-lived. We move on to another number, and this number is interesting. You know, we're talking about Veterans Day coming up, and there are ways to get free workspace, believe it or not. I just happened to see this when I read this story about this Army veteran, Trevor Shirk, who started a digital marketing business. And, of course, he hadn't been in civilian life in a while. And when you're in the military, you've got a team around you. And he talked about when you build a business, you're a solopreneur. So he started this company in Denver called Stratatech Solutions, and they've taken off in part due to joining, he says, the WeWork pilot program, which rolls out nationally on Veterans Day. So you get free office space, a special networking gathering spot, and access to mentoring programs. And he says that the synergy is really, really powerful. And every 6 months for the next 5 years, the new WeWork Veterans in Residence programs will give free working spaces to 100 vets between 10 of the locations, which are in places like San Francisco and Austin and Philly and Denver and Detroit. And I think that's great that they're doing that, because it's tough to start your own thing. And if you're getting rent free and then 25% off, I think after however long that is, that's pretty big, and that's huge. And of course the whole concept has taken off. Because you don't have a brick and mortar place, but here you would have all those other, you have access to other people too. And what a terrific thing. All right, let's move on to another one when I talk about numbers. And how about this? The world's three largest cruise ships, are you a cruiser, are shifting home ports for 2019. So what does that mean? Well, this is what it means. It means that the Royal Caribbean announced that three of its Oasis class vessels, as they call them, will be shifting where they dock. And where do they dock? They are going to redeploy to Barcelona for the summer of 2019 from Port Canaveral, Florida, for a series of Mediterranean cruises. Later, they go back to Florida, but not Port Canaveral. Miami will be the new home. How about that? And they're just shifting them from different areas. These boats are huge. The three ships are 30% larger than the next largest cruise vessels. They hold 6,000 passengers. Can you imagine? 6,000 passengers. Wow. I mean, they are floating hotels. They're huge. I've never taken a cruise. Never. But I look at these boats and I think, wow, I mean, you got everything there. I had two friends that went on cruises. They loved them. One went to Alaska, said it was amazing, except for they said they gained 10 pounds because they ate. They ate, and then they ate some more because they have big buffets on these cruises, right? Yeah, very, of course. So the food is available and it's day and night, 1 o'clock in the morning. And that's what happens. All right, moving on to another number that I think is key and one that I like to hear about. Mosquitoes bugging you? You know, every year I always ask you, how do I get rid of the mosquitoes? Somebody help me. What can I do? I spent so much money on trying to get rid of mosquitoes. Nothing works. You all give me these great ideas, and then they bomb. Or they work for, you know, a week, and then they bomb. So the Environmental Protection Agency last week approved the use of Zap males. It's a lab-grown mosquitoes infected with natural pesticide to reduce an area's population of the mosquitoes that carry the Zika virus. Golf courses, hotels, homeowners in 20 states and Washington D.C. can release the Zap males on their properties that are purchased from Mosquito Mate. It's a Kentucky company. This is huge. And, I mean, the biologists are all saying that they love this. It's a non-chemical way of dealing with mosquitoes. So, I don't know. If it works, it works. That's the bottom line. If it works, then that's good. This company sorts out the males, which don't bite, and releases them into the wild. Release into the wild, you men mosquitoes that don't bite. And apparently, it takes some time. But if you keep doing it, it really decimates the nasty population that carries these diseases. So it's gotten approved in a bunch of places. Can you imagine killing all mosquitoes, would it affect the food chain or not? It would likely not, they say, affect the food chain. And after reducing malaria, dengue fever, and Zika would save thousands of children's lives. But I'm always leery about the whole eradication thing. So these 20 states, there's your number. Go get them. Let's see what happens there. Oh, I would like nothing better than to have a way to completely get rid of mosquitoes. because I haven't found it. Like I said, I always ask you. You always give me great ideas. But then it doesn't work for me. So what can I say? Right? That's no good. I want a way to cure this. It's terrible. It's a problem. Here we go with some more numbers. How about this? The Six Flags Wonder Woman coaster. I told you about this, that this was happening this August. They're building it. It's the Golden Lasso coaster. It's really cool, the renderings of it. I was looking at the pictures of that the other day. They say the new attraction won't look or behave like any thrill machine that has preceded it, because instead of riding a set of two rails like traditional coasters, it's a narrow train. It would soar on a 15.5-inch wide steel track. It's going to be the world's first single-rail iBox track coaster. They say it should be very smooth, crazy fun, extreme twists and turns. Ugh. Quicker and smoother than regular coasters. Well, I like that. If you're telling me it's quicker and smoother is the key. But when I look at the Golden Lasso and I see the loops, oh, it makes me queasy to think of that. Oh, queasy. Luckily, my nephew is a little bit older and won't demand that I ride it with him. The Wonder Woman, they say, will climb a 113-foot hill, drop 100 feet straight down at 90 degrees, and hit a top speed of 52 miles an hour. It will include overbanked turns and the free-floating sensation known as airtime, and that's what makes me queasy. You really, like, you just feel like you're flying out. Then they say the train, I'm going to continue this, the train will roll halfway over and suspend riders for a few agonizing moments before it unrolls and returns them right up, right seat side up. Oh, my. Well, it's like a lasso. And that's what they try to make it look. It really looks like a lasso. And because of the success of Wonder Woman, and then there's another movie coming out, they think it's going to be successful anyway. But the idea that it's doing something, designing something very, very unique, the whole idea of the single track. Boy, I remember when they had wooden roller coasters. Anybody out there ride on a wooden roller coaster? You know, where it's just had that big boxy feel to it. They are long gone, except for the ones that still exist. But now what they do with you on coasters, you gotta have the stomach for it, I'll tell you that. Stay with us. Coming up next, Forbes Books at Bedtime.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, "Hey, try this"? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Really thrilled about our next guest coming up. Anna Liotta is with us. She's in our virtual green room, as it were, as we like to say here on your nightly fix of Forbes. And what's really cool about Anna is she's one of 19 children, which is crazy insane. I can't even wrap my brain around that. Greg, you're not one of 19 children, right?
No, I'm one of 2 children, and that's twice as many as I would prefer, frankly.
Oh, that's interesting. That's like me, 1 and 2, exactly. And she's an expert on generations and the differences between them and how do we bridge the gap. Think of meetings, think of companies. And she really is the go-to person. There's no question about it. So she's got a busy schedule, and we're really excited that she's able to spend some time with us. Anna, thanks so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks, Kate.
So since I set you up that way, I'm sure people always ask you this, and it's on your website, too. You have a photograph of your family, 19 children. So where are you in the lineup?
You know, I come in at the very end. I'm the youngest girl. I'm the 18th child.
Wow.
And you know what, Greg, if you need a couple extras, I'm happy to bring a couple of siblings because, you know, between my siblings, they also have 56 children. So I'm on 56 times and their kids already have 48. So my family life really was a petri dish of the generation, kind of an ongoing dissertation my whole life just to survive the generational dynamics.
So I could not be more different in my family background. I have one brother. I hope he's listening, because if this is news to him, he hasn't been paying attention. But he's like having 18 siblings. He's a handful. He's a lot of handfuls. And neither of us have kids. So my life experience is exactly the opposite of yours, which is it's pretty staggering. I love the photo of you on your website in your mom's arms. There's little Anna and all her brothers and sisters. You're all very cute and charming. And look where you are today. You're talking to us.
Exactly. And, you know, and that's such a great example of generational dynamics in action, because in that picture is a GI generation dad, a traditionalist mom, many baby boomer brothers and sisters, and Gen Xer brothers and sisters. And now we add all the millennials in that are nieces and nephews, and then their kids are actually Gen Z, or what I call the global. So right there, you have the six generations colliding.
See, I think Apple created the panorama feature on the iPhone just for your family, because if you didn't have panorama, you couldn't get them all in.
It's so true. I remember one of the weddings we were at, the wedding photographer had scheduled like 45 minutes to take the family picture. And we're so used to getting everyone in and figuring it out, and, you know, without even the panorama, that he turned around after, you know, getting the camera ready, and boom, everybody was there. And he's like, I can get you all in one shot. We're like, yeah, we know how to get close. We get all swoosh.
He was disappointed because that was less shots that he could sell you. If he had to capture you in 10 shots, it was 10 times the revenue. So I'm really interested on it. You do a lot of speaking, obviously, about generations in general, but also about millennials.
Yeah.
And everywhere I go, and I go to a lot of conferences for Forbes and for Forbes Books, everywhere I go, I hear people frustrated, upset, angry, clueless about how to work with millennials. I never hear millennials complaining about the older folks they work with. I hear older folks complaining about the millennials. What can we do about that?
Well, I have to say the millennials are complaining about the older folks. We're just not always listening. But let me tell you what we can do about that. Where my work over the last 20 years in generational research has brought me to is to understanding that each generation has a code. I call it their generational code. It's a little bit like an algorithm that's running in the background. And when you understand their generational code or the algorithm and the variables to it, it gives you a new perspective on how to address, to lead, to manage, to sell to work with the different generations. So let me give you a little example of what that code might sound like. What we know from knowledge studies is that about age 8, our brains start to make logic. If this, than that. And between the ages of 8 to 18, we're observing the world around us, the events, the leaders, the icons. And when there's an event and it's paired with an emotion, it creates an imprint. The higher the emotion, the deeper the imprint. Mm. So when we want to understand, why do the millennials do what they do? Why do they expect what they expect? Or let's be honest, demand what they demand, right? What is shaping that? What's driving that? My perfect example of this, my bonus mom is in her 90s right now. And I call her bonus because my mom passed away when I was very young. And my dad remarried to her best friend, who brought six children to us, the last six in the 19. And she grew up with some formative events of the Great Depression, World War II. And so a couple Christmases ago, we were making a lasagna for one of our family potlucks, because you can imagine no one person can make enough food to feed all that, right? Everybody's got to pitch in a little bit. But we're making a lasagna for the potluck, and we cover it in tinfoil. We take it off to the dinner. At the end of the night, I was wiping down the now empty lasagna plate. And I looked over at my sweet bonus mom in her 90s, and what do you think she was doing with the tin foil?
Cleaning it to reuse it.
She was saving it. She was wiping it down, smoothing out the wrinkles, cleaning it for reuse. Because her formative events that shaped her algorithm or her generational code tell her that you need to conserve and keep everything. Now, today, she doesn't need to do that. She has plenty of resources, but she still has actions and reactions based off those formative experiences. So when it comes to our millennials, we need to understand, what are their formative experiences that are shaping their choices? And once we understand that, all of a sudden they become a little less frustrating to us, because we realize that they're not attempting to be demanding, or what so many people love to say, entitled, but they have been raised by baby boomers boomer parents and Gen Xers who said, do what you love and the money will follow. You need to go in there and you need to be strong. You need to ask for what you want, speak up, stand up. And so they do. They arrive in the workplace and they are very excited because they want to make a difference. They want to have an impact. But they also come in with positive self-esteem that their parents worked really hard to make sure they had it. And so when you think about it, our traditionalists came into the workplace and they thought of themselves as laborers. They'd come through the Great Depression, their parents had. They were just grateful to have a job. And so the loyalty of the two-way street in an organization was you work hard for the organization works hard, and they take care of you. Then come our baby boomers. And they had 80 million peers. So everything was a competition. So then they got on with the company. Loyalty was still two ways, but it was really about working up the corporate ladder, putting in 20 years so you could get ahead of your peers. So our baby boomers think of themselves as employees. They are moving up the ladder. They're working super hard, but they can't move because moving meant getting behind through their formative years. And so when you ask a baby boomer, what do? They say, I work four. So that employee generational DNA comes forward. Now, our Gen Xers came of age through the Great Recession of the 1980s, and so their baby boomer parents had bled company colors. They'd worked 80-hour work weeks like a badge of honor. They'd totally been dedicated. But in the middle of their formative years, in the recession of the 80s, they came home with a little slip of paper at the dinner table. What color was that pink? Oops, I just told you. Pink. It was a pink slip, right? And so our Gen Xers became free agents in their mentality. They get on with the company, they work super hard, but they know if something cataclysmic happens, they need to be ready with their resume fresh, their bullet points hot, and they need to be ready to scoop up their skill set and move on. Our millennials come along, and loyalty as a two-way street, long gone. They have never seen that as part of their DNA. They don't expect to stay with the company that they're currently at for their whole career trajectory. They're going to be in the workplace till they're 80. So they consider themselves to be talent. You ask them, what do? And they tell you what they're passionate about, what their talents are, what their gifts are. Now, our Gen Xers, you ask them what they do, and they say, I'm in, and they give you the industry. So when we're looking at these different dynamics, we need to understand what shaped those formative years when they were identifying with the world and how the things work. Now, the Gen Zs, the what I call the globals, come along, and they will be influencers because they already have followings on Instagram and Pinterest and YouTube, and they know that their real power is the channel that people follow them on. And people pay a lot of money to them as influencers to get to their audience, to get to their network, their hyper network. And so all of these different generational codes make sense to each person in that generation because that was their formative year of imprints.
Boy, that is crazy. What an amazing timeline you gave us of what we're seeing now in companies. We're almost up against it, but from the millennial point of view and from a corporation, if I run a corporation and I'm at the C-level, and we're going to continue this with you in another segment, but how do I initially keep millennials engaged and then the globals?
Yeah, that's a great question. The first thing is you said the right word. Engaged, because they come into the workplace ready to contribute. And that looks like collaboration from day one, week one. Collaboration not only on what am I going to do right now, but where do I go from here? So they want to say, listen, I can find other job opportunities by jumping online, jumping on LinkedIn, jumping on Career Builder. They can find all of these different job opportunities. Why don't you let me know where I can go from here inside the organization so that I can map out a career path within the organization? Don't just say, well, you've only been here for 6 weeks or 6 months or expect me to stay till 6 years before we have the conversation. Engage me by asking about what are my personal goals and then helping me map out how I can get there from here from the very beginning. Even in the interview, they would like to know, what is your ecosystem within the organization to help me develop my talent? Because I see myself as talent and I want to keep myself fresh, have learning experiences. And they're looking for those learning experiences inside your organization. One of the really great ways from the beginning is to have a mentoring program that's not just one way. It's not just down, but it's mentoring up as well. It's mentoring bring across and having people be able to really be collaboratively engaged in designing their experience.
Love that. Hang on, Anna. We're going to do another segment with you. This is so fascinating, Greg. So thanks so much for being on your nightly fix of Forbes, and we're going to catch up with you again on another night.
Google has all but banned the movie series What Would Muhammad Do? It's a brilliant film on the true history and goals of Islam. This is the film Trump's enemies and holdouts from the Obama administration are terrified you will see. Pro-Islamic groups working with Google and other multi-billion dollar corporations have vowed to suppress the distribution of What Would Muhammad Do? When you see it, you'll understand why. Get your copy while you still can. Order the 4-DVD collection today for $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Or go online and download the entire movie series for just $19.95. But wait, for those who order in the next 30 minutes, we'll throw in a 9-part series on the Muslim Brotherhood absolutely free. Go to www.mdfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now. That's www.mdfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now at
855-510-BACK.
For a no-cost MRI review and to learn more, it's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain.
Call 855-510-BACK to see if laser spine surgery is right for you. That's 855-510-BACK.
What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Starting. 383.
15. Well, I've been talking about it at the start of this series. So many interesting pieces of history happening between the tribe and the Cubs. And the fact that, you know, everybody has burned in their brains 1908, the last time the Cubs won a World Series, over 100 years. But there's history on the side of the Cleveland Indians, too. And this is, I think, a fall classic that a lot of people are going to be talking about. So excited to have Professor Luke Salisbury on with us. He's in our virtual green room. He's a baseball expert and author of a lot of sports books, including The Answer is Baseball, The Cleveland Indian, Blue Eden, and Hollywood and Sunset. I love that title. And also several others as well, and he's contributed to a lot of books. His resume is so long that if I just went down that path, we would never get to talk to Luke. I do want to mention this, though. He was also featured in AMC's Diamonds on the Silver Screen and HBO's Curse of the Bambino, and wrote the Crank column for Boston Baseball. Luke, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm so excited about tonight. So excited.
Boy, so am I. So, I mean, here's the deal. When we look at this, and this is a question I keep getting asked, who's going to win this series, and why do you think they're going to win it? Is it going to be the Chicago Cubs, or let's not forget about the Cleveland Indians?
Well, the Cubs have so much talent. Theo Epstein, who, of course, put together the team that broke the curse in Boston, looks like he's doing the same thing in Chicago, and you just can't give him enough credit. But, you know, I'm an American League fan. If it isn't the Yankees, I root for the American League team. And having gotten so interested in the original Cleveland Indian, how the team got its name and who he was, I must say I'm rooting for the Indians. And they are on a roll. And it's funny because when you call a team of destiny, it usually means they don't have the talent, perhaps, to do what they're doing. And the Indians have steamrolled everybody, especially the Red Sox. So I'm picking the Indians, but that's David versus Goliath.
It is David versus Goliath. And people forget, and you know you've been watching, that the Indians have speed. I mean, they led the league in stolen bases. And, you know, there's some Cub pitchers that have problems keeping guys on bases. I think that this series, by the way, could even go the distance, could be 7 or 6. What do you think?
Well, if it does, I hope they bring out Charlie Sheen. Throw out the pitch in the seventh game. And maybe the Cleveland Indians should bring Steve Bartman, who, of course, was involved in that awful thing with the ball, to lead a goat out onto the field for the seventh game. But and of course, the pitcher, you make a very good point about Cub pitchers holding men on base. It's John Lester, the former Red Sox, who discovered when he got to the National League, where they run the bases all the time, that he doesn't like throwing to first base. I think it would be very smart of the Indians to bunt and run on John Lester.
Yeah, I certainly do, too. Do you think more people are interested in baseball again? Have we bounced back to a love of baseball? It seems like the numbers are up and the interest is up.
Well, it's very interesting because baseball managed to extend itself from a 2.5-hour game to almost a 4-hour game. It really has totally changed to something where it produces statistics for fantasy players, commentary on ESPN, and highlights. And I understand that the Tony La Russa style of getting the most out of every at bat, you know, have it go 10 or 12 pitches, wear out the pitcher. From the seventh inning on, you're using almost a pitcher for every out. And this may well be the best way to win, but it takes so long. It's boring. And the only thing I'm not looking forward to tonight is how late the game may run. It has become a game of bullpens at least as much as starting pitchers. And look at what Andrew Miller has done for the Cleveland Indians. Who would have thought a middle inning relief pitcher might be the most important pitcher on their staff?
Boy, isn't that the truth. When you look at the connection, you mentioned the Yankees and you look at the Boston Red Sox, how connected are those two teams actually when you look at the players on the field to the two teams that we're actually watching in this World Series?
Well, you'd think that Theo Epstein, the general manager who broke the Red Sox curse, is the Cubs general manager. Terry Francona, the manager, and believe me, it's hard to manage in Boston because everybody is after you if you don't win every game. And how he survived 8 years here is a testimony. I mean, he could be in the United Nations. He's also an excellent manager on the field. The two managers, Joe Maddon, who's sort of universally considered the best manager in baseball, and I would have to agree, against Terry Francona, who might be the second best manager. So that's interesting. Then there's a whole number of ex-players. The Cubs took Anthony Rizzo, who had been in the Red Sox system. He had over 30 home runs for them. John Lester and John Lackey, who pitched the Red Sox to World Series, are on the Cubs. You know, David Ross, John Lester's personal catcher, came from the Red Sox. On the other side, Coco Crisp, the switch-hitting outfielder, who, by the way, knows how to box in case there's trouble on the field. He was an ex-Red Sox. So it's just really, really interesting. It's almost Theo versus Theo.
I love that, Theo versus Theo. And what's great about Theo is that he's so young, right?
Well, when he became the Red Sox general manager, he was 28. And you would know this if you lived in Boston, but your listeners may not know that Theo Epstein's father, Leslie Epstein, is a very good novelist, ran the BU Creative Writing Program, which I happen Warner Brothers script writers. And so his great uncle and grandfather, wrote Casablanca and many other Hollywood movies. So you're talking about an extremely talented family. And when I was in the BU writing program, I was working on the novel, The Cleveland Indian, a fictionalized version of that first Indian. And who knew that Leslie's 10-year-old son was going to be the general manager of the Red Sox and the Cubs? And I must tell you one Theo story. When he was 10 years old, he's watching the Red Sox. His father comes by and says, "Who's winning?" Theo doesn't even turn around and says, "The center fielder's playing out of position."
So
you're talking about a very intelligent and sharp family. And so I am somewhat divided knowing the Epsteins. Yes, I'd be happy if the Cubs won, but I am basically an American League fan. And having written about Louis Sockalexis, the original Indian and the original Cleveland Indian, I've got to pull for the underdog in this one.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. Been pulling for the underdog. The fact that the Cubs, it's just so funny, the fact that the Cubs finally got here, wasn't it interesting that Cubs fans, are they always just expecting the other shoe to drop?
Well, it's interesting. Whether players feel pressure from a curse, they certainly feel pressure to win. Fans certainly do. Like, I believe there were two things constant in the universe, the speed of light and the fact the Red Sox would never win a World Series during my lifetime. Now they tell us some subatomic particles might go faster than the speed of light, and the Red Sox have won three times. And I don't want to do a spoiler alert for Cub fans, but it's interesting. When your team hasn't won, it's the Holy Grail. And I used to feel like I almost had to watch every game and root. I was willing to sell my soul for them to win the World Series, which maybe I did. And then they win, and they win a couple more, and it's wonderful, and you feel great for a couple of years. But now they're just sort of another team. You know, there's something absolutely magic about something you can't have.
Boy, and, that's a truth, isn't it?
You know, but on the other hand, you know, when the Red Sox won, and this will happen in either of the two cities, you had people going to cemeteries taking Red Sox hats and letters that said, "Grandpa or Dad, they finally did it." And there was a wonderful sense of good feeling. And so some good will come out of it, but then afterwards you look at it, it's like, oh, you know, we don't have the curse of the Bambino. We're not the goat curse. You know, we're not the Chicago Cub. This happened to the Phillies in 1980. They had never won a World Series, and they won. And then a few years later, it's like, well, they're just another team. But that
you're just another
any,
team.
Yeah, that doesn't take anything away from how exciting it's going to be and how much the fans do care about it. And let's hope that Steve Bartman has let off the hook, that poor Notre Dame graduate who grabbed a ball, as any of us might have, in a playoff game, one in 03, and was just pilloried. Now, here, we pilloried Bill Buckner, but Bill Buckner was on the field when the ball went through his legs. That's a little different than a fan allegedly interfering with something. But I must say that scapegoats are always needed in the biggest stage. If you make a mistake, Super Bowl or World Series, it's in your obituary. It is never forgotten.
Boy, that's the truth. That is the truth. And never forgotten. I love it. This was great info. There's no question about it. The answer is baseball. The Cleveland Indian, Blue Eden in Hollywood and Sunset. Luke Salisbury, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, enjoy the game tonight.
Thanks. You too.
Bye-bye.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.